Welcome to the Healthy You Radio Network, radio that empowers you to heal you. This is Keisha Ewers, your network host, and I'm proud to introduce the most inspirational yoga show on radio today. Welcome to the Living Yoga Show with yoga teacher, researcher, and author, Robin Rothenberg. Living Yoga Radio, radio that inspires you to live yoga on and off the mat. I'm your host, Robin Rothenberg, and we're part of the Healthy You Radio Network. We have a great show for you today. Carol Krukoff is my guest, and she'll be speaking to us from Durham, North Carolina, where she is a yoga therapist on staff at Duke Integrative Medical Center, where she develops individualized yoga practices for people with health challenges. She is also the author of the newly published book, Healing Yoga for Neck and Shoulder Pain. We'll be speaking with Carol shortly to get some great tips on using yoga to ease and prevent upper back and neck pain, as well as learning about the other important work she's involved in the field of fitness and yoga therapy. In reading Carol's book, which is a very accessible and useful little gem for understanding the mechanisms that create and relieve chronic tension and pain in our bodies, I couldn't help contemplating Sutra 216 from Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, Heyam Dukkham Anagatam. Future suffering is to be avoided. Like Carol, many of my students spend hours on end slumped over computers every day, holding their bodies in postural positions that create compression on their spine and inhibit good respiratory function, circulation, and digestion. And of course, most often, these are the very same students who suffer from chronic back, neck, shoulder pain, and general dis-ease in their bodies. The correlation may seem obvious, yet the remedy is not always so obvious. How do we avoid sitting at our computers when so much of our livelihood is computer-driven? And how do we sit with optimum posture for 2, 6, 8-hour stints when our bodies are deconditioned to do so? Perhaps even closer to the heart of the issue, how do we even remember to pay attention to how we're sitting when our minds are so disconnected from our bodies? Well, yoga offers a strategic plan for addressing these obstacles to health, provided one is willing to take action. Please understand that on a fundamental level, yoga is a succinct and brilliantly designed methodology for reducing suffering, dukkha. And all the practices are directed towards that end. The sutra, the teaching I quoted earlier, Heyam Dukkham Anagatam, is actually the summation of the preceding sutras on karma, the cyclical nature of cause and effect arising from our actions. To paraphrase the teaching, it goes something like this. When we act from a place of unconsciousness, ego orientation, attachment, avoidance, or fear, and I challenge you to find a motivator outside of those five that is the primary impetus for your actions on a regular basis, there's an imprint left upon us that may be visible or may not be so visible. But these imprints, also known as samskaras, color us just the same, thus affecting our perception, behavior, and experience going forward. Some imprints leave a residue that may be called positive, and some leave a residue we may call negative. Regardless, the cycle continues infinitely. It's said that one who has the capacity to see clearly with wisdom discerns that all of it leads to dukkha, because the nature of things is to change. Therefore, even what appears to leave a positive residue today may in fact show itself to have a negative effect later on, and vice versa. I'm going to share a story with you that really exemplifies the stickiness of this samskara residue. Just last week, a dear friend suffered a personal tragedy. This friend has been living in her family home with her husband and her sister, and her sister sadly put a pot of rice on the stove and forgot about it for 5 hours. The lid to the pot was coated in Teflon, and now the entire interior of the house is coated in Teflon. The chemical toxicity has infiltrated every surface of the house, leaving a residue that is not easily washed away. It's not a visible black soot as from a typical fire. It's more of an insidious, invisible pollutant that has adhered to the very cells of the walls, the floors, cabinetry, their clothing. And the smell has made the house uninhabitable and most of their possessions untenable. Samskaras leave a residue like that. And the unhealthy ones can be seemingly invisible for long periods of time. And then, whoosh, all of a sudden, the arm goes numb, the pain radiates up through the neck, creating migraine headaches. I've worked with many people who claim that, quote unquote, nothing happened to cause the pain they're experiencing, meaning no specific incident was the precursor, no car accident or acute trauma. However, days, weeks, months, and years of not tending their bodies, not noticing their posture, of sitting, simply sitting on its own, has set them up for chronic pain. There's new research that has shown that sitting for long periods of time impacts everything from blood pressure to respiratory function to mental attitude, leading to conditions like hypertension and depression. And for that, it doesn't matter whether you sit at an ergonomically correct workstation. Just the inaction of sitting breeds dis-ease in our physiologic system. So according to this research, a two-hour workout at a gym or even a really great solid asana practice won't positively counter the negative effects of the samskara created by prolonged sitting. Now there's new studies following up on this that are looking at active workstations where people can walk on a treadmill kind of apparatus while they're working on their computers rather than sitting or standing statically. So while it's still too early to have definitive stats about the effect of technology and computerization on our physiology and psychology on a broad scale, we can be yogis and yoginis and really pay attention to the residue it's leaving on each of us every day. Where yoga practice can filter out the smoky Teflon residue of our habits is by bringing us into a more conscious awareness of how we're living. By practicing conscious connection on the level of mind, body, and spirit, we can teach ourselves to be more attentive whether we're on a yoga mat or not. The first step to alleviating dukkha, suffering, is recognizing that dukkha is present. Even if your neck doesn't hurt today, if you're on the phone for hours at a time and not using a headset, eventually the pain will come. Pay attention. Heyama Dukkha Managatam means grow wiser, not just older. Notice how your choices impact you and make healthier choices today so that tomorrow and going forward, your suffering lessens rather than increases. When we come back, we'll be talking with yoga therapist and author Carol Krukoff, who will be sharing some ancient and modern wisdom for alleviating the pain in your neck and shoulders. Stay tuned.
The Yoga Barn welcomes you to health, to well-being, and to a strong, vibrant you with a variety of classes designed to fit your unique body and life. Experience prenatal yoga, yoga for seniors, and yoga for a busy life, each designed to fit your individual needs. The Yoga Barn's instructors are highly skilled and make each class a unique and inspiring experience. Visit the Yoga Barn online at theyogabarn.com and click on schedules for a complete list of classes. Call 425-427-0038 and ask about the Yoga Barn's free Sundays and an introductory series designed to ensure your journey into yoga is safe and accessible. For details, locations, and offers, visit theyogabarn.com or call 425-427-0038. The Yoga Barn, where personal health and spiritual well-being await you. Welcome to the Yoga Barn.
Information provided on the Healthy You radio show is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for the advice provided by your physician or other healthcare professional. You should not use the information from the broadcast of the radio show for diagnosing or treating a health problem, disease, or prescribing any medication or other treatment.
Don't let back pain keep you from enjoying life. There is hope. The Essential Low Back Program offers clinically proven relief. Robin Rothenberg, author of The Essential Low Back Program, Relieve Pain and Restore Health, brings you her Essential Low Back Program, scientifically tested by the National Institute of Health, and has alleviated pain and improved the well-being of thousands of people suffering with chronic low back pain. This amazing program includes 5 audio CDs, an illustrated book, 5 sessions with Robin as your personal instructor, and an easy-to-follow home instruction. Enjoy blissful, guided, deep relaxation with the woman who wrote the book on relieving low back pain. Log on to EssentialYogaTherapy.com/products and pick up the Essential Low Back Program today. Read the testimonials. Recognize the benefits. That's EssentialYogaTherapy.com/products and pick up Robin Rothenberg's Essential Low Back Program today.
More choices, more topics, more shows. One station. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to Living Yoga Radio on KKNW 1150 AM. We're part of the Healthy You Radio Network, and you can always stream our shows live online at livingyogaradio.com or healthyyouradio.com, and you can also download podcasts of our shows at your leisure. So it's a pleasure to introduce my guest today, Carol Krukoff. Carol is a yoga therapist, fitness expert, and award-winning journalist. She works as a yoga therapist at Duke Integrative Medicine in Durham, North Carolina, where she creates individualized practices for people with health challenges. Carol also co-directs the Therapeutic Yoga for Seniors teacher training and teaches yoga at Duke University's Center for Living. Her newest book is Healing Yoga for Neck and Shoulder Pain, published by New Harbinger in May of this year. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you, Robin. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I know from having taught yoga and yoga therapy for almost 25 years that neck and shoulder pain is probably number one on the list in terms of what people come in complaining of, and it seems like it's getting worse. So I assume that that was part of the impetus behind writing this book, but let's hear from you.
I often begin classes that I teach, as many yoga teachers do, by asking my students if they're, you know, what's going on in their bodies today. Are there any places or spaces that are tense or tight that need special attention in the class? And really, the number one answer that I get is neck and shoulders, neck and shoulders. And there's not a lot out there in terms of books and DVDs geared to people with neck and shoulder pain. There's a lot of back books, but not a lot of resources for neck and shoulder pain. So that was sort of one of the main impetus. And the other is truly we write and we teach what we need ourselves. My first career is as a journalist. I was at the Washington Post for 10 years on deadlines. My neck and shoulders were very, very tense and tight. And it became a chronic situation. And that's really what led me to yoga. So this was back in, I was at the Washington Post from the mid-70s to the mid-80s. And it was really my neck and shoulder pain that brought me to yoga. And I found great relief in yoga. So those are really the personal connection and this commonality of seeing this problem in my students were really the reasons for writing this book.
So why is neck pain such a common problem?
Well, I think you said it very well in your introduction. We are in a computerized culture. Most people in our culture are sedentary. They sit for long periods of time, and they sit with a rounded posture where the head is forward of the neck. It creates tremendous strain on the head and the neck. And then that's just the physical reasons for neck and shoulder pain. We're also in a very high-stress, very hurried and worried culture. People have financial pressures. There are terror alerts. There's a Gulf oil spill. We've got deadlines, lack of sleep. So we've got this emotional pressure that leads to kind of carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders. And, you know, tie that in with spending our days sitting, typically doing activities that round our bodies forward, computer work, driving, reading, almost everything we do in our modern life rounds our bodies forward. Unless you paint ceilings for a living, almost everything we do rounds our bodies forward. And that really is, I think, the impetus for just this, what seems to be an epidemic of neck and shoulder pain.
So what does yoga have to offer uniquely to relieve neck pain?
Well, yoga is really a holistic discipline that offers so much for what is really a multifaceted problem that's both physical, emotional, and energetic. And, of course, yoga has all of these attributes in the practice. On the physical plane, the postures can help stretch tight muscles and strengthen weak ones. So it cultivates flexibility, stability, and ease of movement. And yoga also teaches people about proper alignment. Many people know that, oh, you know, my posture's bad, you know, but they have no clue until they come to a yoga class of what proper alignment is. So people who practice yoga learn how to sit and stand with good posture, and that eases strain on the neck and shoulders. And that's really the physical plane only. On the psychological plane, yoga is a very potent stress reliever. It teaches people how to relax and connect to that inner sense of peace. And it's also a process of self-discovery. You know, it starts on the yoga mat, and the practice is geared to helping people understand themselves better and maybe shedding some light on habitual stress patterns and emotional reactions. And that can translate into learning healthier ways of relating to the world in everyday life. And then on the energetic plane, yoga breathing is very powerful in helping people enhance their vital energy and really recharging the entire system. So the whole approach of yoga, where we balance effort with relaxation, can help people learn how to avoid expending energy in unnecessary ways off the mat, so they kind of stop spinning their wheels. So combined as an integrated, holistic discipline, it's particularly well-suited to relieving neck pain, because neck pain tends to be a very complex, multifaceted ailment.
That's a great overview of the of how yoga can help. Now, let's dive into some specifics from your book. You mentioned breathing. Good yoga breathing can help, but I'd like to have you talk a little bit more specifically about the impact of proper and improper breathing on the neck.
Because it's a
big one. I mean, it's one that I see quite frequently, and you really do a beautiful job of highlighting that in the book and with diagrams. And okay. You know, in that we breathe, always forget the number, but thousands of times a day, breathing improperly can really exacerbate any kind of neck condition. Mm-hmm. Is that true? I mean, that's understanding.
That's very true. Many people in our culture, for varied reasons, often because are chest breathers. And this is often because they are sitting improperly, so they are not able to really expand the belly as we learn how to do in yoga. And there's often in our culture, people have really misconceptions about how to breathe. In my practice, working one-on-one with people with health challenges, probably the single most important thing I teach people is proper breathing, and it's really sometimes shocking how distant people have become from this very, very natural process. Sure, we all know how to breathe. We wouldn't be alive if we didn't, but many people are these shallow chest breathers. They want to look thin, so they think that good breathing involves sucking in your stomach and puffing out your chest, whereas, in fact, of course, the yoga practice teaches the deep abdominal breath, which is expanding the abdomen and the rib cage and up under the collarbones. So when people are chronic chest breathers, they don't fill the lower portions of their lungs, which is where the oxygen exchange is most efficient. It creates a self-perpetuating stress cycle. So they breathe shallowly, which is a stress on the system. So they are under stress, so they breathe more shallowly. They often then use the accessory muscles in the side of the chest to breathe, And that creates more stress on the neck and shoulders.
So is this like one of those Teflon residue?
Right, one of those Teflon
some scar
residue.
Is, yeah, where you're breathing, you don't realize it, but 1,000 times a day, you're breathing in a way that's actually increasing the tension in your body and increasing your whatever your stress points are, be it your neck or your shoulders. Or
exactly. The people who seem to understand about breathing are people who sing in their church choir or are singers or play wind instruments or practice yoga. These are the people who recognize that a full deep breath involves filling the lungs completely, which rounds the belly, expands the side ribs, comes up under the collarbones, the three-part breath, Durga Pranayam. And it is so profound when people make this connection. And I always tell people, particularly people, you know, I see many people here in Durham, North Carolina, who think yoga is a little bit out there. So I say, if you really want to watch a master, and they, you know, think I'm going to say myself, but I'm not going to say myself, I say, watch a newborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
And a newborn baby, you will see this beautiful, full expansion of the whole rib cage, the belly, up under the collarbones, and the relaxation. We all knew how to do this, but somehow we lost it. You know, we created this wanting to fit into our tight jeans and suck in our chest and just misunderstandings about what a proper breath is. And then that stress component, when we're under stress, we breathe very shallowly. And this is, it becomes a habit. And we're not aware of our habits often. So the yoga practice helps people recognize and return to that very simplicity of what we all know, the basic mechanisms of a deep, full breath. And it's really profoundly healing on a variety of levels, physical, emotional, in the stress-related realm. It's probably the single most important therapeutic aspect of the practice.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. One of the things that I found really interesting in the beginning of the book, you're talking about the task force study on neck pain that showed that there really wasn't evidence for what you call common degenerative changes as a risk factor for neck pain. Can you talk about what this means and what it means in terms of yoga?
Absolutely. I was fascinated by this. You know, my first career really as a journalist. So when I started to write the book, I went to do my reporting and see, well, what do we know? What does Western medical science know about neck pain? And I had the very exciting realization that the World Health Organization had just issued a report from their task force on neck pain and associated disorders that was released in 2008, published in the journal Spine, which is a very prestigious journal, that tackled the problem of neck and shoulder pain, which they said has become a major cause of disability around the world and very misunderstood and very difficult to manage. And one of the things that was what you alluded to, that there's been an assumption in modern medicine that neck pain is often due to degenerative changes, which is basically arthritis in your neck. And you really, most people over the age of 50 have some degree of arthritis in their spine, and which of course the neck is the cervical spine is part of the spine. And for many people, this is a benign process. But when people come to a doctor with neck pain, they often get an x-ray, and on x-ray, they're told, particularly people over 50 or 40, 50 and up, that they have degenerative disc disease or degenerative joint disease. And this sounds
horrible. It's very terrifying.
It's got the word disease on it, when in fact, this is just a medicalized name for common arthritic changes.
It's kind of like saying you have wrinkles if you're over the age of 40 or 50.
Right. And people get so upset because they've been labeled with a disease, when this is just a process of aging. It is what they found, that there are no studies, there's no scientific evidence correlating these common arthritic changes associated with aging and pain.
So what is causing the pain?
Well, there's it's unclear. There's a lot of theories. What we do know is that there are many risk factors that predispose people to neck pain. Age can be a risk factor. Gender appears to be a risk factor. Smoking is a risk factor.
Okay, so back up just a minute. Gender. So who's more likely to have neck pain, men or women?
Women are more likely to have kind of a chronic neck pain that they report to a physician that their neck bothers them, but it's not related to a specific traumatic event, as you were discussing in your intro talk. Men tend to be more likely to have a specific episode of neck pain that's related to something traumatic, like a sports injury. So they are more likely to show up with, you know, I hurt my neck in the football game. So there's a gender association. There is somewhat of a stress association. People in high-stress jobs where they have little say about their jobs tend to have neck pain. But in terms of the specific mechanisms, it is what they call multifactorial. So many things can predispose one to it. It is not one single thing. And then that common thought in the medical community that, oh, this is from arthritis in your neck, when the task force, and this was an international task force of medical experts, the literature did not support that as a cause of neck pain.
One of the other interesting things that I gleaned from your report on this study was that it also talked about the importance of movement, because one of the primary ideas around rehabilitation from the Western modality is to rest, like you rest your neck or not.
And that has changed. Yeah, people were put in collars.
In collars, right.
And one of the things that the task force found is that collars, the cervical collar, actually does not appear to help. Neither does electrical muscle stimulation or most injection therapies. And this is what the task force reported, the journal Spine, 2008. In general, the things that keep you moving are good, including exercise, manual therapy, and that's kind of an umbrella term for any hands-on physical treatments like massage, myofascial release, or joint manipulation. So things that keep you moving, in general, are good. In contrast, those things that keep you sedentary or inactive are not good, and that includes collars and bed rest.
I love your statement that you make, movement is medicine.
Oh, amen to that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people don't think about that, but just moving, and it kind of goes back to the study that I quoted where, you know, just being sedentary is a precursor to having some kind of dis-ease or ailment in your body. So moving, just getting up and moving is so important.
Mm-hmm. And that is the one element that pretty much every form of medicine agrees on. Modern Western medicine, ancient traditional medicines like Chinese medicine and Ayurveda, everyone agrees that appropriate movement is healthy and inactivity is unhealthy.
That's great. Well, we're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, I want to pick your brain a little bit about posture and the two major contributors that you have uncovered that relate to neck pain and what people can do to avoid it and alleviate it. We'll be right back. You're listening to Living Yoga Radio. Stay tuned.
Life in yoga should be deep and powerful. The more you learn about yoga, the more passion you discover. Passion that seeps into your practice, your community, and the world. Let your life in yoga drive you to deeper passion with a yoga therapist certification at the Essential Yoga Therapy Therapist Training Program. This comprehensive 1,000-hour program is for registered yoga teachers interested in training to become certified yoga therapists. The Essential Yoga Therapy Therapist Training Program provides a skilled staff knowledgeable in yoga, Ayurveda, and Western medical models. Log on to EssentialYogaTherapy.com/ training or email info@essentialyogatherapy.com for details on class schedules. Discover your deepest passion for yoga therapy with the Essential Yoga Therapy Therapist Training Program.
Blaze a trail to yogablaze.com and discover the only online yoga community aiming to unite and ignite local yoga. This is Soleil, yogablaze.com founder, inviting you to join us as a teacher, student, or studio to connect and explore everything yoga. Yogablaze.com currently serves the greater Seattle, Washington yoga communities.
If you want to grow your business in the field of health and wellness, then advertise with the Healthy You Radio Network. Contact Brenda DeVore for details, 425-502-1925, or by email at brendadevore@comcast.net. That's BRENDADEVORE @comcast.net. Listenership is growing fast, so grow your business with advertising on the Healthy You Radio Network. 425-502-1925.
1150KKNW.com. Your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to Living Yoga Radio. I'm Robin Rothenberg. This is the KKNW 1150 AM radio station, and we're part of the Healthy You Radio Network. Carol Krukoff is my guest today. Carol is a yoga therapist, award-winning journalist, and founding editor of the health section of the Washington Post, where her syndicated column Body Works ran for 12 years. She is a frequent contributor to Yoga Journal, and her articles have appeared in numerous national publications. Carol is also an ACE fitness trainer and spent a decade studying martial arts. In addition to yoga practice for more than 30 years. So we're speaking with Carol today about neck and shoulder issues, which is the focus of her new book, Healing Yoga for Neck and Shoulder Pain. So Carol, let's talk posture. You cite that there's two primary issues that play a role in people ending up with neck pain that have directly to do with posture.
Yes, and those are asymmetry and forward head. So asymmetry is like the name, it's a lack of balance, and it comes from repetitive patterns of use. So I often look at this in a way, one of the easiest ways to recognize is it's like your running shoes. And if you look at your running shoes or your walking shoes over time, you'll notice that they're worn in a particular pattern, and that reflects your repetitive habits of use. Well, our physical bodies also reflect our repetitive patterns of use. So after years of using your muscles and ligaments in a specific way, often we favor one side of the body, often because of our dominant hand. Many people become asymmetrical or lopsided. So one shoulder might be higher than the other or sit more forward of the other. And sometimes this asymmetry is linked to an inherent structural abnormality like scoliosis, which is beyond our control. But often asymmetry is related to repetitive habits of use. And that's frequently linked to the way we use our dominant hand. For example, if you're a waiter and you're right-handed, you might always carry trays on the left side so you can distribute plates with the dominant hand. Many women carry heavy purses on one shoulder or hold a baby on one hip. We might cradle the telephone between the shoulder and the ear or participate in a one-sided sport like golf or tennis. Or our jobs are often very one-sided, a concert violinist or a house painter. So over time, these kind of repetitive habits of use lead to an imbalance in our body, and that is a setup for pain.
We're back to Teflon again, aren't we?
We're talking Teflon, yeah. And many people don't even recognize that this occurs. But then the yoga practice is really brilliant in helping us balance the body. So we're as symmetric as possible on all sides, the right and left, the front and back, the top and bottom, having equal and appropriate strength and flexibility. And even people who have some sort of structural abnormalities, the yoga practice can be very therapeutic because it helps strengthen what's weak and lengthen what's short. So it really is geared to cultivating balance and symmetry throughout the body as much as possible. So that's asymmetry is the postural problem. The other one is forward head. And just, I invite people who are listening to this right now to just freeze right where you are. Just don't move. Freeze where you are and notice where your head is in relationship to your shoulder girdle. Many of us, particularly if we're rounded over a computer or a steering wheel or at the kitchen sink, carry our heads forward of our shoulders because we're doing something that takes our attention forward. The head is heavy. It's about the weight of a bowling ball, maybe 10 pounds. And if we carry the head forward of the shoulders, it forces the muscles of the neck and shoulders to do a lot of extra work just to keep us from falling on our faces. So this forward head position, it's fascinating. If you will just watch people. And we do this with our Therapeutic Yoga for Seniors teacher training. One of the assignments is to do a field study, to just go to the mall or the grocery store and just watch people move and walk. Many, many people, a vast majority in some circumstances, go to a Starbucks and see how people are sitting, and their head is forward of their shoulders. So, and then we wonder why our neck hurts. But if you were holding a bowling ball in front of you for a couple of hours, wouldn't your arms hurt?
Absolutely. One of the images that I often give students is of the women in Africa or other countries where they're carrying the water, the urns of water on their mm-hmm. head, and how mm-hmm. elegant, I mean, they walk like royalty. They're so, mm-hmm. they're, I mean, and most of us have seen, even if we've never been to Africa, I've never been to Africa, mm-hmm. but I've seen enough, you know, mm-hmm. National Geographic right. magazines and Discovery Channel and that mm-hmm. kind of thing to be able to conjure that image immediately of that regal walk and the long neck that's just so beautifully aligned over the shoulder girdle and the pelvic girdle, and everything's just in flow. And there's this effortless ease and strength that mm-hmm. comes through, that just, you know, just is illuminated by their gait. And that is not how most of us walk around.
That's a very beautiful image and a very appropriate one, too. And it comes back to yoga being a practice of awareness. Many people just aren't aware, don't even think or consider how their repetitive habits of use, how they sit, how they stand, how they move through the world, all impact the neck and shoulders.
So I want to just kind of highlight one little point, because what I hear a lot from students is they come in and they have neck and shoulder pain and they say, I just want to stretch. They always want to stretch because they feel tight.
Right.
And I don't deny that they're tight, but my sense is that forward head positioning and the rounded shoulders, etc., there's tight muscles, but even in some ways more important are the weak muscles, the muscles that are underutilized, mm-hmm. That people don't realize that it's not just a matter of stretching to feel better in the moment, but to actually eradicate the issue. There's a lot of strength that's needed, too. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the reasons that's so very important is that when people are new to the yoga practice, they often find it extremely difficult to sit without back support,
right?
Because their back muscles just aren't strong enough to support that, and they begin rounding over because their back muscles are so weak. So, as you know from reading the book, the practice that I suggest is really a whole body practice. There's a
That's
section
right.
that are just neck and shoulder stretches, but yoga is not a question of take this posture and call me in the morning.
Thank you for saying that.
It is the whole body, and you need the strength of your legs, your hips, your back, your arms to support the head, neck, and shoulders. So I really recommend a full, you know, body practice to strengthen what's weak, to stretch what's tight, and clearly we need to do, we all in our culture where we spend most of our days rounded forward, we all need to do a lot of back strengthening practice to support that heavy head.
Amen. So what are your three basic concepts that you use to find good posture in virtually any situation? What do you recommend
to our
listeners?
Well, it kind of boils down to having a long spine and maintain the natural curves of the spine. So there's a little curve at the back of the neck that should be there. There's a little curve at the lumbar spine, at the lower spine, that should be there.
And these are curvatures in, right?
Yeah, they're curvatures.
There's more than one way to curve a spine.
You're right. You're right. And then the thoracic spine has a little curve out. And the spine has those natural curves because that's what builds in the resiliency. That's what the neck is very, very complicated. Its job is to protect the skull, which contains our precious computer, and it can turn in so many ways. So keeping the spine long and maintaining the natural curves, and this applies to whether you're standing, sitting, lying down, and then keeping your neck in line with your spine. The neck is part of the spine. So if you have forward head, if your head is drifting forward, that means your neck is not in line with your spine. So bring the neck in line with the spine. This is true, again, when you're lying down, when you're sitting. So I tried to kind of make it as simple as possible. And the last one is use only the muscles you need and relax the others.
And you talk about working soft. Is this kind of what you're getting at?
Yeah. You know, many people in our culture who come to yoga thinking it's some kind of exercise come with the Western mindset of, you know, the harder you work, the more results you get. And I try not to use the word work at all in relation to yoga practice. I use the word play. I don't say work at keeping your neck in line. Well, play with keeping your neck in line. So you want to make sure that any of that habitual tension, and many people have this body armor of bringing the shoulders in the direction of the ears, and that's a stress pattern. It's something that it's almost like a turtle drawing into the shell.
Okay, well, we're gonna take a little break. And when we come back, I want to hear your on-the-mat and off-the-mat practice recommendations for our listeners to get out of their turtle shells and to live in a softer and more playful way in their bodies.
Great.
We'll be right back listening to Living Yoga Radio. Stay tuned.
Don't let back pain keep you from enjoying life. There is hope. The Essential Low Back Program offers clinically proven relief. Robin Rothenberg, author of the Essential Low Back Program, Relieve Pain and Restore Health, brings you her Essential Low Back Program, scientifically tested by the National Institute of Health, and has alleviated pain and improved the well-being of thousands of people suffering with chronic low back pain. This amazing program includes 5 audio CDs, an illustrated book, 5 sessions with Robin as your personal instructor, and an easy-to-follow home instruction. Enjoy blissful, guided, deep relaxation with the woman who wrote the book on relieving low back pain. Log on to EssentialYogaTherapy.com/products and pick up the Essential Low Back Program today. Read the testimonials. Recognize the benefits. That's EssentialYogaTherapy.com/products and pick up Robin Rothenberg's Essential Low Back Program today.
Summer is the perfect time for yoga, with gardening, hiking, biking, and all of the outdoor activities challenging your back, shoulders, hips, and knees. Now is the time to learn how to stretch out and rejuvenate with yoga at the Yoga Barn. For summer only, we're offering 2-for-1 intro series special. Bring your partner or friend and get started today. Experienced practitioners can purchase an unlimited summer class pass good all the way through Labor Day. 2 fabulous ways for you to launch your summer of healthy living with the Yoga Barn. Great yoga, 7 days a week. www.yogabarn.com.
I believe in miracles.
Miracles happen.
There are miracles big and small. Life is a miracle.
You are a miracle.
You are a miracle. You are a miracle.
Healthy You Radio brings you the stories of healing that give you inspiration and hope. Join Keisha Ewers, ARNP, and friends Monday through Friday at 1 p.m., part of the Healthy You Radio Network.
I believe in miracles.
For the people, by the people. Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Well, Welcome back to the Healthy You Radio Network. This is Living Yoga Radio. I'm Robin Rothenberg, and my guest today, Carol Krukoff, is talking about with us about neck and shoulder pain based on her vast years of working in the field of yoga therapy and fitness. And she's written a wonderful book, Healing Yoga for Neck and Shoulder Pain. We've talked a lot this hour about posture, about habitual patterns that create neck pain, and specifically chronic pain in general, and neck and shoulder pain specifically. And Carol has some great ideas that she shares in her book, and I'm going to ask her to share a few now of ways that people can, on and off the mat, practice to either alleviate neck and shoulder pain or prevent it.
Well, clearly on the mat would be a regular yoga practice, breathing practice, and meditation.
So just to, again, just kind of tease out some specifics, mm-hmm. Most yoga classes run between an hour and 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. People, I find, often think that in order to have a good yoga practice or a useful yoga practice, let's say, to prevent or decrease, alleviate pain, that they have to commit to an hour and a half. And I'm just wondering if you know, because the practices you offer are what I would call little mini practices, which are much more the way I work with people, sort of working within their time frame of their mm-hmm. lifestyle. And mm-hmm. so can you just say, when you're saying a regular yoga practice, what are you imagining people are going to be doing?
Thank you for bringing that up. Clearly, it is better to do 5 to 10 minutes of yoga every day, in my opinion, than to do a lot of yoga, an hour and a half, once in a while. When I say a regular yoga practice, and when I work with clients at Duke Integrative Medicine, I often ask them, well, how much time can you spend? And if they only have 5 or 10 minutes, I'll create a 5 or 10 minute practice. And what's so, it's important to meet people where they are.
Absolutely.
To give them something that is achievable and doable. And it really, if it becomes a habit, it can have a profound effect. Because yoga is not just something that you do when you're on the mat and then you walk away and you're not doing yoga. Yoga is skill in action. And that is, that's what I, or really the off-the-mat practices. And my teacher, Esther Myers, called them micro practices. And this is something that I highly recommend and can be so helpful for people, particularly those who have to sit at a computer all day. So while they're at their desk, have good posture at your desk. Be in a seated mountain pose. Maybe do some shoulder shrugs. Or some of the postures that I have in the book are things that people can do at their desk.
Yeah, absolutely. Really simple things that people
can do. Very, very, very simple things. And just because it's simple does not mean that it's not useful. In fact, some of the most useful things are the simple pieces that you weave into your everyday life.
Sprinkle, that's my word these days. Just sprinkle a little yoga all through your day.
There you go. I love it. Sprinkle. You know, one of the most wonderful mini practices is the one that the Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh suggests, and that is the habit of taking a full deep breath before you answer the phone. So how different would our day and our lives be if when the phone rings, what do most of us do? We get all tense, our shoulders march up by our ears, and we rush to grab the phone. So instead of having that reaction to the phone, consider the phone like a temple bell. What do the monks do when the temple bell rings? They stop whatever they're doing.
And
they
breathe.
Take a deep, mindful breath of gratitude, and then they go about their day. So when I suggest to my students, and this by proper credit is Thich Nhat Hanh's, it's telephone meditation, when the phone rings, use that as a cue to stop. Take a deep, mindful breath, nice deep breath, relax your shoulders, notice your posture, make whatever adjustments to come into good alignment, smile, and then answer the phone. You'll get it by the third ring, and you'll be a lot more pleasant when you answer the phone. And anybody who's worth their salt is going to wait for 3 rings. And just think of how many wonderful little micro practices you could sprinkle into your life with telephone meditation.
That's so beautiful. That's a great place to close. Thank you so much, Carol.
My pleasure, Robin.
I know you've really given our listeners great wisdom to think about and contemplate, and you can buy Carol's book, Healing Yoga for Neck and Shoulder Pain. It's available on Amazon as well as traditional retailers. You can purchase it and her other books and audio CDs as well on Amazon. And on Living Yoga Radio, you can also link directly to Amazon for her book as well as those written and suggested by our other guests. I want to take a moment now to relay a Karma Yoga Service message for our local Seattle listeners. Remember that tomorrow, July 10th, we have Yoga for Hope, 108 Sun Salutations out on the lawn at Memorial Stadium. Join the crew and cheer them on. Sponsor a participant or open your mat and join in what will be perhaps a little bit of a sweat-a-thon. But it's all for a good cause, to raise funds for City of Hope, whose mission is to save lives through designing cutting-edge cancer research. To find out more, you can go to our website, livingyogaradio.com, or yogaforhope.org. Also, the Samaria Center in Seattle will be holding their third annual Sun Saluthon on July 24th, 11 to 2. This is to raise money to bring yoga to underserved and marginalized communities in the area. The Samaria Center is Seattle's only nonprofit yoga center and is specifically set up to offer community outreach to and low-cost and free yoga. With a large active volunteer base, they have successfully created and implemented free yoga programs all around the city. They'll have a picnic area for those wanting to cheer participants on, entertainment for the whole family, kids are welcome, food and beverages for sale, plus free samples from local vendors. For more information, please visit their website, www.saluthon.org. There's so many ways to participate and give back to the world. Please let us know how you and your friends serve the world through the gift of yoga. We'd like to share your Karma Yoga stories with our listeners. Remember, we're about promoting yoga on and off the mat. Let us know how you think we're doing. Are there aspects of yoga you'd like to learn more about? Teachers you'd like to hear from? Let us know. Add your comments to our blog, become a fan on Facebook, or email us at info@livingyogaradio.com. And if you're enjoying the Healthy You programming on KKNW, please go to the KKNW website and fill out the survey posted there and let them know. Be sure to listen in to Living Yoga Radio on July 23rd when Anita Bozer will be my guest. Anita is a yoga teacher and structural integrationist. She is the author of Undulation, Relieve Stiffness and Feel Young Again, and will be sharing some critically important information for yoga practitioners and teachers about the role of connective tissue in movement, healing, health, and in achieving samadhi. Tune in and learn what possibly wasn't taught in your yoga teacher training. This is a show not to be missed. And don't forget to tune in on Monday at 1 to Mind Matters with Ajay and Boris. Now, enough talk. Let's practice. Stop what you're doing. Stand if you've been sitting. Take a moment to wiggle and shake off any physical tension, mental tension, and align yourself well. Feet grounded, hip width apart. Shift the hips back over the heels. Draw the shoulders back over the hips. Align the pelvis, belly drawing in gently. Shoulder blades set down, tucked in, wings. Feel an opening across the heart center. Draw the chin in and lengthen the back of the neck so that the head aligns comfortably over the shoulders. Breathe in gently. Jaw soft. Throat soft. Eyes closed or with a diffused gaze, inwardly focus. Breathe out. As you breathe out, just a gentle hug of the abdomen in, and as you breathe in, expanding and opening 360 degrees across the rib cage and the belly. Let the breath carry away with it as you exhale any surface tension, distracting thoughts or concerns. Feel into your body and find the balance between the front and the back, the right side and the left, the inside and the outside, the inhalation and the exhalation. 5 to 10 breaths. 5 to 10 breaths now. 5 to 10 breaths between projects, between activities. 5 to 10 conscious breaths between one phone call and the next, one client and the next. Practice today for tomorrow, and tomorrow for the day after. Let this transition practice become a defining feature of how you move through your life, an essential ingredient that infuses your body and mind with a sense of groundedness, spaciousness, and balance. Change your karma. Make your life a no-dukkha zone. Cultivate sukha, happiness, instead, by consciously sifting yoga into your life moment to moment, each and every day. This is Living Yoga Radio. I'm Robin Rothenberg. And until we connect again, walk in the bliss.